Welcome, IT Changemakers, to The Dex Show with Tim Flower and Tom McGraw. Let's get into it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Reality Bites. A bit of a skeleton crew today, but a exceptional one as ever. We've got Oriana with us. Hi, Oriana. How are you?
Hello.
We've got Megan with us. How's it going, Megan? Just back from your holiday?
Yeah, just back from Guatemala. It was. I'm glad to be back, though. Sort of.
Yeah. Are you really? Are you? Sounded like a very exciting trip. I don't know if I buy the glad to be back shtick today, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I almost didn't come back, but here I am.
It was touch and go, but well, we're glad to have you back, Megan. Next thing can on Reality Bites both. And we've got Sam with us as well. How's it going, Sam?
Hey, it's going good, Tom. Always happy to be part of your skeleton cruise.
Skeleton cruise of the best cruise. Skeleton booze cruise. That's what we've got here.
That's right. Hey.
Okay, so you know, anybody who listens regularly to this show knows that part of the whole concept is, you know, we try and bring dual perspectives to the tech and IT workplace stories of the day, and that dual perspective tends to be, you know, the perspective of our content writers and analysts and experts represented today in Sam and Megan, of course, and alternatively the perspective of our technical experts on the show, people who engage with customers and the technology itself, and who you might say, and some do, really know what they're talking about, represented by Oriana today, of course. Well, we've got a slight twist on that structure today, because we're going to be talking about hardware, and those of us who represent, if you will, the sort of analyst content side of the Reality Bites equation, we are now going to put on a different hat, and that hat is a hat we wear very comfortably, which is the hat of the IT user, aka the hat of somebody who doesn't know what's going on with their laptop, their headphones, anything at all, and is completely subservient to the at the mercy, at the whim of IT in helping us to get through issues and problems and ensure we can work and be productive. The idea for the show comes from Sam, and then of course I should say we were also represented in Oriana's space by IT itself. And the idea from the show comes from Sam, who's you know, if I'm not mistaken, Sam, we've seen on the Dex Hub recently, we've seen a few pieces broach this topic. I know one that stood out and did very, very well, and we recently recorded a Dex show about it, concerned the tech bar, right?
That's right. The Tech Cafe, which was an idea that a customer had, but has kind of been a theme across different companies, kind of a tech bar is inspired by Apple's Genius Bar.
And the piece has done well, though. And this is basically, as you say, it's inspired by Apple's Genius Bar. And it's almost like an evolution of the old IT office, right? You know, we all sort of once upon a time used to kind of going and knocking on the door up on the fourth or fifth floor, you know, and going to see everybody when you had an issue. You'd spilt, as I did once, a coffee all over your laptop or whatnot. And then everyone went remote, and it became this kind of completely virtualized, impersonal service almost. And now we're all coming back to the office and such like. And this kind of more refined in-person service becomes, if you will, do you think, Sam, the future of the IT user interaction?
Yeah, I would say so. I think that, you know, a lot of companies are looking for kind of reasons to have people want to go into the office, especially when it comes to, you know, people who have been working remotely for the past 2 years, or it's difficult for them to do so. And I think a kind of more personal, hands-on relationship between IT and the employees that are using all this technology is kind of a great way to kind of get people want to be coming into the office, to kind of have their problems solved in a much more kind of candid and personal manner, rather than, you know, through different IT applications.
And what about your own experience with technology, Sam? How sophisticated is your understanding of your hardware, and what's your you know, what are the kind of common kind of incidents that your technology presents and can get in the way of your productivity day to day?
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm putting my hat of hat of ignorance on today, Tom.
Yes, indeed, for this topic.
But yeah, you know, I was thinking about this both as I looked at kind of some of those deck sub articles and also some of the content that our product marketing team has put together around device health and hardware refresh. And it really got me thinking not only about the work setting, but just the number of devices I've had throughout my life, just like everybody else. You know, I've had different phones, different laptops. And I was just thinking back to all those times where I've had a device for 2-3 years and all of a sudden a laptop becomes too slow to even use, or a phone's battery life starts draining way faster than it used to. Things that I either just accepted as, well, that's the way it goes once you've had a piece of technology for a couple years, you know, the battery craps out, or maybe, you know, maybe I downloaded too much rap music on my laptop in middle school and it made the it made the laptop start acting slow on me. But I never really knew why these things were happening. And one thing I definitely never did was consider what I could do as the user of the technology to maybe delay the kind of the health of my devices declining, or completely resolve these problems so that they lasted way longer than they would have originally. So thinking about that kind of got me really interested in getting the other side, the IT's perspective, who are kind of actively thinking about how to prolong the life of devices and know a lot more than we do about why these problems actually occur and what can be done to delay or solve them completely. So that's kind of what had me bringing this topic to the table today.
It's a great setup, and I do actually like the observation. There's always like a period in the sort of the last throes of your phone or laptop where you just kind of like transferring the device between charges. You unplug it and you almost have to run to the next one before it completely bottoms out. Yeah, I know it well. Okay, before we turn to our resident IT team in the guise of Ariana, Megan, where does your level of sophistication fall between turn it off and on again and quickly self service and improve your device's health?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of ashamed to say I don't think I was a very good user of hardware. It doesn't help that the first couple jobs I had, we didn't have IT. I was doing the kind of, you know, the hippie thing. So I was working at very small places where there really wasn't IT. But I also, what was I going to say? That I have that, I'm solidly a millennial. So I had that funny thing growing up where I basically was IT for my family. You know, my mom and dad would be like, the computer's not working. You fix it. I was just the only one who knew how to turn it on, or, you know, whatever had gone wrong, I could figure it out. So I kind of came of age with this idea that I was actually quite good with technology. I learned HTML so that I could, you know, code my live journal to have a glittery background. And, then I, you know, got my first real job with IT, and the first time that they had to tell me to turn it off and turn it on again, and that fixed the problem, I was like,
I had to be told,
because it didn't occur to me that, like, machines need to be shut down and turned back on again. So, you know, I would put myself squarely in the I'm actually an idiot box, but I just didn't know that I was. But it was only when I started working here, and I started actually trying to market to an IT audience, that I really understood, or really like thought about for the first time, the challenge of managing not just one device or one phone, but managing devices at scale. Like, I had never really thought about having a hardware refresh policy, right? And of course companies have that, but it just, I'd never had to worry about it before. There'd always been someone who gave me a computer and then told me when I was getting a new one. So that when I started working here and I started thinking about, like, wow, it must be so complex to have to manage device management, hardware management at scale, and then also have to manage, like, all of us who need to be told to turn it off and turn it on again. And then when you throw in, yeah, like remote work, I'll say working remote, I'm way less likely to go to IT. Way less. I'm way more likely now that I know to turn it off and turn it on again to just do that 6 times and hope that it fixes it. because, yeah, when I'm in person, I might go walk over to the IT guy who I know because we work together and we know each other by name and by face and say like, hey, this is going on. Can you help me? Whereas when it's remote and I have to file a ticket and they might email me and they're going to need to schedule time to have a meeting and like my schedule's already pretty full. I don't want another half hour block on my calendar. I'm way less likely to call them. I'm way more likely to be like, you know what? It's probably fine. And that's probably not good for the device on the long term, but I don't know that. So I just live with it.
And a couple of things I want to pick up there, Megan, before we go to knock on the door of Oriana's Tech Cafe. First of all, I never know because, you know, in the UK, we have this very, very famous sitcom, called The IT Crowd. And it's very funny. It's very pleasant. You know, it's about 20, 30 years old, but it still gets watched. And the great kind of recurring joke in it is whenever anyone phones up this basement with the IT workers in it, the first thing they always say, have you tried turning it on and off again? And so it kind of became like, if you will, a meme, even before almost there were memes, I think, or around the same time that the meme was being born. So nobody doesn't know that you turn it off and on again. But I don't. I sometimes talk to Americans who know the IT crowd, sometimes don't. And this is more for my own curiosity, Megan. Had you never seen the show?
I've never seen it. I've definitely heard the title, but no, I've never seen it.
Check it out.
And when he did say, like, have you turned it off and on again? I was like, oh yeah, that's a thing you have to do.
But that is
like,
a thing, yeah.
It just hadn't occurred to me that it's a thing that I should do to solve
I think we've all failed to turn it off and on again once in our life, at least, to be fair. Yeah, I understand that. And the other thing I was going to pick up, Megan, is obviously thinking about hardware, one of the things kind of next thing maybe primes your awareness of is that there are other dimensions to hardware use, hardware wear and tear, specifically environmental ones. And when you think about how a lot of the materials that go into our laptops and things are sourced, kind of, you know, global social ones, right? And I assume this is something that you would be conscientious of. So is that something that sort of you became aware of as well simultaneously? And how does that influence your IT behavior?
No, quite so. I definitely was already aware of that. I'm a very big, in my own personal life and my personal use of technology, I like make it last as long as you can. Like my last cell phone that I had, I think was like 8 years old, and I only got rid of it because I accidentally left it in an Uber on the way to the airport. So it was just gone. I wouldn't have gotten a new phone yet. I was perfectly content to use this phone that, yeah, I had to charge it every night and it might not make it through the day, but I like, why do I need a new piece of technology? This one works fine. And I'm very aware of like, yeah, the environmental impact, especially of mining for the materials that our technology needs. I won't totally get on my soapbox, but it's horrible. So I do try to, for my own, like, I think my laptop is like 10 years old at this point. I keep technology for as long as I can. I'm not a person who needs the newest thing. But that was another thing, like reading some of the content that we had made here about the environmental sustainability of hardware in the corporate setting, you know, it becomes complicated, right? Because you have compliance and security issues that factor in. Like there are other factors at play that I probably don't think about with my personal laptop in terms of why, you know, a company can't keep their laptops for 10 years. So that was kind of an interesting lens to sort of grapple with, of like how can companies make their hardware policy more environmentally sustainable without, you know, having all these other knock-on effects.
Totally. And I think it's interesting because I feel like you could even be a relatively conscientious user of technology or just a sort of, you know, aware person in those kind of areas in general. And still maybe when it came to your work device, just almost think, well, this is just outsourced to the company. You know, this isn't where I think of it in terms of my personal responsibility or my personal impact. I think that would have been more common just a few years ago, and now you see that kind of meeting of the corporate and the personal in this area, and I do see that as kind of changing attitudes on both sides of the divide. You know, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think probably a few years ago, people would have wanted the newest, shiniest toy at work.
Yeah, because I feel like just getting out of their company.
A bit of a status symbol, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think that at least Maybe I hang out with the wrong crowd, but everyone I know cares more about the environmental sustainability of their workplace.
You have a nice crowd. That's great. But no, look, so here we are, Oriana. We're back. I don't know if we're banging at the door of a sophisticated 2023 tech cafe or a sort of 2018 IT office up on the 6.5 floor, but we're carrying armfuls of busted, fast battery draining devices. We're completely bewildered. Some of us have turned them off and on again. Some of us haven't even done that. And you're our only point of hope, really, and help. So, what can you advise us, Oriana? What are your reflections on this topic?
Well, I definitely can't presume to speak for all of IT, but I definitely am somewhere in between. So I come
You've
from tech
in IT, haven't you, in the past?
So yeah. But also like Megan was saying, I thought it was really interesting. She was saying, you know, the sort of millennial experience of being tech support for her family, it was very different for me. So I come from a family that is both hippies, but also very, very much techie people. Mm. So I share that perspective of trying to make technology last. But in my case, that would mean something like I have a gaming laptop that I have been maintaining really carefully for many years now, actually. And so it still works really well. It's still up to date. And one of the great things about hardware versus software is that when it comes to things like security and compliance, that's something that you are generally doing via software. So as long as your hardware can run your software, you can, in fact, be compliant and have the most up-to-date software. The question is really, what do you need in order to make sure that your hardware supports that software, right? And that's, I think, one of the places where we do get to the sort of slightly more complicated perspective of, well, what does that mean, right? So for some computers, it might mean you can update a part of the computer without having to replace the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's going to Megan's comment about what is so environmentally costly about computers. One of the most costly things is the battery, right? So we have a few different solutions here. Instead of replacing an entire computer, we can replace one part to refresh that computer. So refurbished computers, for example, are an awesome option for personal consumers, but also companies have their inventory that they're maintaining. They don't need to just completely discard machines, right? They can take machines back. They can use the parts that work really well. And I think a large IT group has the capacity to do that, and that's what they're doing, right? But there are a lot of challenges to that, like inventory, maintenance, things like that. So giving an IT team the tools to do that is one part of the big picture. Mm-hmm. Then the other part is, what do we do to make our stuff last? So one of the things that I do is I use the sort of optimal settings to extend the battery life on things like my phone and computer. So my phone actually never charges to 100%, but it also isn't going to die before the end of the day for several years longer because of that. So that's something that I, as an end consumer, can do. Mm-hmm. An IT team can use education and information to try and help people learn about these different techniques. And that's one of the things that I think is really exciting at NextThink, is that we're trying to give IT teams tools that aren't usually in their toolbox, right? Usually we're thinking software, we're thinking hardware. We're not really thinking about things like behavioral change. How do we help people build in good habits that are good for people and good for technology, like turning your computer off at the end of the day, right? That's good for you, because you're not like, oh, well, maybe I'll just check my email again after dinner and before bed. And also it's good for your computer. It'll make it last longer if you're not leaving it on all the time, as we mentioned earlier. So I do think that there's so many great little approaches to this. And obviously, as the sort of tech psychologist, my thought is, how do we help people make this an easier lift and make this a mutual win? I think the win is more obvious maybe on the consumer side, where you can not be buying a $1,000 phone every 2 years. But on the company side, it's also, how do we make sure that we are promoting good tech policies, from making sure that our software is up to date to also thinking about things like planned obsolescence, which is my least favorite thing, right? That's right. when technology is designed to not last for more than a few years.
And I'd be fascinated to know what your reflections are, Ariana, on specifically how you, what should be the guiding principles of a way of engaging people in these kind of issues in terms of being more conscientious users of technology in such a way that isn't going to alienate them, that isn't going to, you know, push them away, that is going to make them feel part of it. That is, you know, where do you draw the line in terms of engaging people in this way, particularly if you're a company and an employer, right, where it's not really a natural role to play in terms of encouraging somebody in this kind of direction or in this kind of context, at least?
Totally. And that's such a great question, and actually one of my favorite ones. Okay, so one of my absolute biggest soapboxes, to borrow the term, is people often default to shame to try and promote behavioral change, even though every single piece of research ever shows that that is the worst way to promote behavioral change. Whether it's quitting smoking or switching your battery to not charged 100%, if you make people feel bad about something, you're just promoting disengagement, right? Like, if something makes you feel shitty, you're not going to want to engage and learn more and take actions, right? So the thing that I think number one rule is do not shame people, especially because a lot of us, like we're talking about, don't necessarily know this stuff, right? It's not obvious. It's not at the front of our minds. So I think the first thing we do when we're trying to educate people is come from a place of, why is this mutually beneficial? You know, what are people excited about? How do we get people invested? Some of it is tapping into the fact that people are already invested in things like having a good experience or wanting to take care of the environment. And that is something that a lot of people care about. So I think, really focusing on the positives, the benefits, those are things that I definitely recommend and that we want to try and build into these things. The other is, of course, empowerment. So let's remove the barriers. Let's make it as easy as possible. This is definitely one of the things that we at NextThink want to do, is provide these tools that make it completely automatic. So an opt-in policy versus an opt-out policy would be something. Okay, so say we have an opt-in policy. And an opt-in policy is, I have to request to keep my laptop for 4 years instead of 3 years, or I have to select the battery saver mode. An opt-out policy is, my company will not replace my laptop until I let them know that I'm having issues, and then they'll try and fix it for me first before just giving me a new machine, or I will have my computer by default set up to save battery, and I can choose to turn it off if I need to because, for example, I'm doing a presentation or something where I need more power, or I'm doing something else where I need to turn that setting off.
Yep. Very, very well put, and lots of fascinating things. In fact, Ariana, I think you're the editor in chief of the DexHub. Don't you think there's an article in these principles? Don't you think?
Absolutely.
I mean, we should come on, Ariana.
What's that?
can you write something for us? That'd be great. In fact, you know, Sam, any last thoughts on this? You've raised the topic, had some good insights there. We can take forward as technology users, or in terms of our conclusions to the topic.
Yeah, no, I think the thing that stands out to me most about what Ariana said, and what I think is most important, is the delineation when it comes to kind of IT problem solving between solving problems in the moment. You know, I have this problem with my laptop, I need to go to IT, and kind of fostering good IT habits as users. I think those are two very different things. And I think sometimes we can overemphasize the fixing of problems in the moment that are directly impacting our productivity right now. You know, this app won't work, I can't access this network. But really, the kind of building of habits is the thing that is both more important to kind of the long-term health of our technology, and also kind of a little bit trickier to remember as users when we're just kind of going about our days, kind of having that checklist of good IT habits, something that we're all kind of consistently working on improving. I think will make things easier for both the users and IT in the long run. So I think that was a great point and kind of the most important one that stood out to me.
Well said. And I think we'll include in the show notes a link to a few pieces that the Dex Hub has featured recently, including the Tech Cafe one we mentioned, so that people can go and read more around this topic. But listen, it was a superb performance by the Skeleton crew today. Really, really enjoyed hearing everybody's thoughts on this topic. Actually, it made me think a little differently today, I have to say. You know, I'm going to try and be a bit more conscientious going forwards. And it was lovely to speak to you all. So, Ariana, Sam, Megan, see you soon.
To make sure that you never miss an episode, subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast player. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, make sure to leave a rating of the show. Just tap the number of stars you think the podcast deserves. If you'd like to learn more about how NextThink can help you improve your digital employee experience, head over to nextthink.com. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.